This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, July 11th. I'm Patricia Naft. In what's been a watershed week for gay marriage in Colorado, a district judge has ruled that Boulder County Clerk and Recorder Hillary Hall may continue to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Hall began issuing them after the 10th Circuit Court, which had jurisdiction over Colorado, ruled that Utah's ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. The Colorado Attorney General tried to get an injunction on Hall, getting her to stop issuing licenses, while the 10th Circuit's decision is still under appeal. The Attorney General feared confusion and harm that would be caused by marriage licenses that may be invalidated. Boulder is also the only county doing this. Hall's actions were validated Thursday morning when a district judge ruled that her office could continue, noting that there are high standards to issue an injunction, standards the state did not meet. Judge Hartman ruled that there wasn't sufficient evidence that the licenses would cause irreparable harm. The judge also cited yesterday's ruling from Adams County that Colorado's ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional. Hall was pleased with the ruling, saying it was, quote, a victory for all loving couples who wish to marry. The attorney general also released a statement saying that there needs to be a statewide ruling to prevent a county-by-county patchwork of legality. Issues with people and wildlife led to trail closures this week. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Anyone who visited the popular Maroon Bells area on Tuesday may have been disappointed. The Forestry Service, in conjunction with the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, closed two trails because of two bull moose. The trails have been reopened to the public, but that might change. This is Mike Porras with Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
Right. Well, it's obviously a very popular area for tourists from not only the United States, but across the world. It's one of the most scenic areas. What we've also found is it's excellent habitat for moose. And we've seen a steady increase in the number of moose that have moved into the area. And with people being visiting the area and moose there as well, we've started to see some activity that's given us some concern.
Porras says that people often underestimate the dangers of moose, seeing it as a gentle giant.
Although they may seem gentle, they are certainly very, potentially very dangerous. They are not afraid of people, so people can walk up very close to them, but if they feel threatened, they will attack. And it's even a more dangerous situation in the presence of dogs. Certainly dogs are taken up to the area, but moose will see a dog as it's the only natural predator, that being a wolf. And their instinct is to try to stomp it immediately. And what happens is that dog will run back to its owner, bringing that 1,000-pound, very angry moose with it. They will knock you down and they will stomp on you. That's what moose do. They're magnificent animals and we want people to enjoy them. They're a relatively new introduction to the state of Colorado and they are doing very well in the state. And they're spreading throughout the state and to areas where people may not have seen them only a couple of two or three years ago.
If a moose does attack a person and that moose can be identified, the state will put it down regardless of the circumstances. Porras says that as the moose continue to thrive here in Colorado, some measures may have to be taken.
I don't want to speculate too much on what could happen, but I will say that throughout the state, moose hunting is becoming more available. As their populations increase, the ability to manage them will take place through hunting. So there's always that potential that it will be managed, their populations will be managed. Through hunting, and certainly we would prefer that they be managed that way, which is our typical way of managing wildlife, than having to put them down because there was a conflict with somebody who didn't listen to the advice or got a little careless.
For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Over the 4th of July weekend, someone illegally dumped an unknown substance into an irrigation ditch just outside of Paonia, according to the Delta County Sheriff's Office. Law enforcement, along with the hazardous material team from the Hotchkiss Fire Department, were called to the scene on Price Road by a property owner. Ken Nordstrom, the environmental health director for Delta County, says samples from the ditch that flow across multiple properties and empties into the North Fork of the Gunnison were collected on Monday. Nordstrom says the samples were sent to a lab in Denver Wednesday. He suspects the chemical substance is some type of acrylic polymer, but says the county is still waiting on the lab results. A property owner in the area says the milky white chemical flowed into his artificial pond fed by the irrigation ditch. He says the substance has killed fish and algae he was growing in the pond. Residents of Ophir are trying to change how the internet works for them and maybe the rest of San Miguel County. KVNF's Jake Ryan brings us this story.
Internet has always been an issue for rural Coloradans, and that's especially true in Ophir. Brian Morgan is an Ophir resident who's trying to change that.
Currently, we only have satellite service, which is expensive, slow, and we have quotas, usage quotas. If you exceed your quota, so let's say you have a 1.5 gigabyte download quota, so if you exceed that, they throttle your network speed back to equivalent of dial-up service. So it's super, super slow.
Brian is part of a community organization that's trying to bring faster, more affordable service to the area.
We have been in touch with CenturyLink, and CenturyLink has given us a build quote of $620,000 to go from Telluride to Ophir with buried fiber. They were pretty unhelpful, kind of the scenario where they just wanted to check for $620,000, and then they would start the process whenever they felt like it. If the town of Ophir had the $620,000 in hand, they pay CenturyLink to build it. CenturyLink then still wants to own the fiber. In my opinion, it's robbery. You pay for this infrastructure and this huge asset, and who benefits from it? CenturyLink does.
So now Brian and his group are working with Tri-State and Brainstorm, a Telluride company specializing in rural internet, to figure out a way not only to build their own infrastructure, but also create a second option for the people in San Miguel County. They've also been working with the county commissioners in San Miguel to help fund the project. A new item will be on the November ballot in San Miguel County, asking residents if the county should get involved in offering internet, something that Colorado prohibits unless the residents give it the okay. The project is still in the early stages of development, and issues like ownership are still undecided. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Stay tuned for DJ Muffin, your host for the Friday morning music mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Neff.